It's time to bring you inside the Toronto-Waterloo Innovation Corridor. Join host Todd Cooney and co-host Dean Mariani as they chat with CEOs, founders, and disruptors, some of the most influential people in this tech ecosystem. This is the Startups to Scale-Ups podcast.
In this podcast, we sit down with Grobo CEO Bjorn Dawson, very timely given the legalization of marijuana in Canada. The Grobo One hydroponic grow box automatically grows your plants for you. All you do is add your favorite seeds, then let the app-controlled grow box do the rest. For more information or to order 2017's Grow Box of the Year, go to www.grobo.io. Thanks and enjoy the podcast. Today, we are sitting down with Bjorn Dawson, the CEO of Grobo. We are sitting in his beautiful facility here in North Waterloo. Thank you for being a part of the podcast.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So for those that don't know, why don't you tell us a story about Grobo from conception to where we're at today?
Absolutely. I mean, so we started Grobo back in 2014, and we started in the fruits and vegetables space. Like the whole idea, I'm a terrible grower. I killed just about everything. And I was frustrated growing outside because you'd harvest buckets of tomatoes at the end of the season because it just got cold too quickly and you couldn't eat them all. And anyway, so I wanted something that would do the work for me indoors, get the highest quality produce. That's why I started the company. And even before that, I was just building my own systems with Arduinos and hacking them together. And then, decided that a number of other people were interested in what we were building. And so we turned it into Grobo, which actually stands for Grow Box originally. We got rid of the X. Most people don't know where that came from. But then we made it to about 2016 when we realized the most excited customers wanted to grow cannabis. We had the Trudeau government in and we could see that it was slowly starting to go in that direction. So Today what we build is an automated home growing system, and one of the most popular plants to grow in it is cannabis. And with the recent legalization, Canadians can grow four plants at home. And this is really the safest way to do it. So you put your seed in, you tell the app what you planted, and it takes care of the rest for you.
And so have you more like repositioned yourself for that in terms of your market and who's purchasing the Grobo?
Yeah, we have. And we started really with the medical patients. I guess in Canada, we don't talk much about the medical program. We have a phenomenal medical program called ACMPR that was put into place, and patients could not get access to licenses to grow fast enough. Mm. Like there are actually court cases against Health Canada for taking too long to give them the right to grow and to give them that access.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, that's how much demand there is for growing. Mm. And the systems just kind of weren't there at the time. So we had a ton of customers that were excited to work with us on medical growing, because oftentimes there's some condition, right, that you have that makes it a little bit harder to grow and to put in the effort, but you need the medication to live sort of your best life.
So right now you're servicing North America. Yeah. Sales are kind of going all over US and Canada.
Correct.
Worldwide domination is probably on the horizon, but there's probably some red tape that you're navigating right now.
It's on the horizon. So it's an interesting market, right? Like yesterday, literally, we added 30 million people to our market size. Or not yesterday, last week. 17th there, yeah.
It's perfect time for this podcast, by the way. Yeah. But
suddenly you add like 30 million people to your market, right? In the US, as different states legalize, our market expands, but it's a very like quick and kind of step-based expansion that we see. Same is going to happen in Europe and the rest of the world. There are countries like Spain talking about legalizing, for example. If they do, that's, again, like a quick change, and it's a big change, and suddenly it opens. So, yeah, we have a very dynamic market in how things play out.
Can you, in kind of like layman's terms, go through like the science behind how it works?
You're asking a bad grower to do it? I got it. So it's hydroponics. So you're growing in water. You have obviously your seed, and your seed is sitting in what we call a cocoa pod. So it's coconut husk that's sort of glued together a little bit. So nice and natural. And it sits in this bath of water that has air bubbling through it and nutrients that have been added to it. That's pretty much it. Outside of that, there is lighting. And what matters for the growers is that the light is kind of on and off. What's unique to us and what matters to us is that the light is actually 8 different colors. So there's, you know, three different blues and three different reds and white. And so what happens is when you use the colors in different quantities, you end up getting different results. Mm. So we can make plants taller or shorter or wider or thinner. And that's why our box can be so compact compared to traditional cannabis growing systems, because we can make sure that that plant is really sort of tight in the way that it's grown.
And what are the four, there's like four bottles, right? How do those interact and, you know, what are those doing?
So there's five bottles that are down there. And two of them would be adjusting pH. So in, you know, KW, we have hard water, for example, the system will detect that and will work to correct it to the optimal levels. But it really figures out, do you use tap water or distilled water, reverse osmosis, whatever type of water that you're trying to use, and then it optimizes it. The other three are all the nutrients. So once we've corrected the water, then we can add the nutrients, and that's what your plants actually use to grow.
And everything's automated. Like, you've created an app to go along with the hardware, and it's about as easy as it can get for growers.
Everything's automated. I'm having success right now growing with it. It teaches you as well. I think that's one of the most exciting things is if you've never grown before, you have no clue what you're doing, you buy the system, you set it up, and every week it'll say, hey, welcome to week two. This is what you can expect this week. And it walks you through that process so that you're not digging through forums or researching and spending tons of time there. You know what you need to know when you need to know it in sort of layman's terms, right? Simple terms for everybody.
And does it differ, you know, say you're trying to grow tomatoes or some kind of, you know, vegetable.
Yeah.
Is that a different process than the cannabis?
So it's all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We create different grower recipes for everything, but the system is the same and it's a different combination of nutrients and lighting. Those are the big changes. So for cannabis, for example, you have 18 hours of light during the first few stages, and we would say up to the vegetative stage. And then when it starts to flower and produce the bud, which is what you'd actually like smoke, mm-hmm. For example, then it goes into the flowering mode. And so flowering is only 12 hours of light instead of 18 hours of light that we would otherwise use. And that's because in the fall, the daytime gets shorter and the plant knows that it needs to start producing its flowers. Mm-hmm. So we're simulating that indoors. If you're using, you know, kind of any different plant, it might be a little different. So think of a basil, for example. Basil is continuously growing. And it's more in that vegetative phase. So you could have light for 18 hours a day, every day without changing it.
Hmm. And getting to your like background growing up, obviously.
Good Montreal boy, right?
Got it.
Were you an entrepreneur at a young age?
Everybody in my family went down that path. So grandparents on either side are entrepreneurs. Parents are entrepreneurs. I was destined to do it. I grew up in Montreal and then came to Waterloo for mechanical engineering. And then that's where I met Chris, my co-founder. So he came for electrical engineering. And so we hit it off and I was more interested in the business side and he's phenomenal on the technical side of it.
Right.
And has a lot of the expertise that I don't have. Which was a great match. And then we just kind of ran from there.
And you guys met at UW,
yep.
Founded the company in 2014.
Yeah.
And then you went through UW Velocity program, spent some time there. And now you're actually in the Rev program at Communitech. So for those listeners that don't know, why don't you go through kind of the experience of, you know, the company from its infancy through UW Velocity and then rolling into the Rev program.
For sure. We did a lot. So back in 2014, we were actually between our second and our third year of school. So we started Grobo like halfway through school. By the time we graduated in 2016, we had already gone into the cannabis space and we were a team of six people, I think, by then.
Incredible.
Trying to do both full time. And we spent actually our last term in China. But the way it played out, we started with the Conrad Entrepreneurship Center, working with them. We went into Velocity pretty quickly. And then from Velocity, we ended up in early 2016 at Hacks, the hardware accelerator in China. So Volterra and a couple other companies have gone through that as well. And from Hacks, we came back. We were still at Velocity for a little while. We did Creative Destruction Labs as well in Toronto. They were incredibly helpful as we looked at the different markets that we were in and where we wanted to go. And then, then we moved out into our own space, did our own thing for a while, and now we're back. And working through the Communitech Rev program, which is an accelerator. It used to be a sales accelerator was how it was built. Now it's really a company accelerator. And I think that's added a ton of value to us is because we need help on the sales side. But as your sales grow, everything else grows.
Right. Correct.
Yep. So now they can help us with the HR pieces. They can help us with, you know, even myself, like having somebody that I can talk to about, you know, investor communications.
Yep.
That's incredibly helpful.
They have mentors there that guide you, give you all the information that you need through certain stages, and they're also hiring, right? Hiring the right people, putting in the right pieces in place.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. They, like, even the structures and systems. When you're six people, it doesn't matter what your onboarding process really is, because you're all around the same desk. So if you didn't tell them the first day, they've probably heard something by the third.
Right.
When you are 16 people, it's a completely different story in terms of what you have to do.
Getting back to hacks.
Yeah.
So you took your beta and you kind of formed what we see today, or close to the prototype that you see today. Is that...
Yeah, we've gone through probably 10 iterations.
Okay.
No, even more than that since hacks.
Right.
But we actually, we were accepted into hacks when we were still in the food piece. And between the time that we were accepted and when we showed up in China, we had switched into cannabis. And I remember calling them and saying, hey, by the way, guys, like, we've done this change. Is that okay? Can we still show up? Are you good with this? So that's where we did our first big piece of development there.
And they were okay with it?
They were okay with it once we talked them through it.
Right.
So I think at first they were a little bit shell-shocked, and Hacks is a very global organization. So you're talking, when we're talking to them, we're not just talking to Americans. It's, you know, Americans and like Irish. It's an Irish fellow who had started it as well. So you're talking to him, plus then you're talking to the team in China. And so everybody has a different mindset. So some people are on board and they're okay with it. Some people are hesitant. Some people are against it. And then when you start working through, okay, look, we didn't just do this on a whim. This is why. And you start laying it out from a business case. It made a ton of sense at the time.
Mm.
And it still makes sense today.
And so obviously, you know, we've had the legalization last week.
Yeah.
I think it was 5 days ago.
Yeah.
What have you seen since then? Like, is it just blown up?
Did you see the hockey stick in sales?
Yeah, the country hasn't fallen apart. Right. For anybody that was nervous about what would happen. Yeah. I have noticed no difference in my personal day-to-day life. But I think, yeah, like, we have seen more Canadian orders come in. A lot more Canadians are kind of getting involved and signing up and want to learn about cannabis. And we see that as one of our, one of the important things we have to do is cannabis education.
Right.
Really, like, you need to understand how to use cannabis in a responsible way. And that's something that, that we want to talk about and share stories with that. So we're seeing a lot more people engaging and trying to learn more. And I think it'll take some time for the culture to shift. If you were using cannabis beforehand, you'll continue to use cannabis. It's great. If you were not, you now are potentially more inclined to learn about it. I think that's really the piece that we're seeing today. And it'll just over time continue to ramp up as people get more comfortable with it and with how you use it.
So you've been called a true disruptor in this space. Break down kind of what makes Grobo and its product a game changer.
We're the first in the world to ship this type of product. So that's, I mean, that's the first thing, right? Like, we have
absolutely
pushed through on the cannabis space. There are kind of similar types of systems people would say for food, but they really aren't nearly as complex or robust or efficient as what we can do for cannabis, because you can't charge the same amount. So being in the cannabis space allowed us to develop the top of the line automated growing system. And it's a complex problem to solve. Right.
It's like the Lamborghini of...
We get Apple, a comparison to Apple a lot, right? It has that Apple look. It can fit nice in your house.
Yeah,
it works well.
Looks nice in the living room, as we see in this picture here.
Exactly.
Like, obviously, you spent some time making sure that it
looks
appealing, right?
For sure.
Is that a big thing? Like, where do you see this in 5 years? Do you see everyone having their house like they have, you know, a wine kind of...
A wine cooler?
A wine cooler.
Like, think of where a wine cooler is, right? Some wine coolers you put in your basement and you hide them away. Others you put in the dining room. I think we're going to see the same thing, right? Or in your kitchen.
Right.
Eventually, I think these could be built into homes, and they'll sometimes be in a basement, and that would be kind of a grow tent, for example, but they'll sometimes be in the living room because it's something that you can start pulling out. Whereas older systems for growing, for example, they look like filing cabinets. And the whole idea was stealth. Now this is more of a talking piece, and it's something that you can have and you can be proud of, and you can share and show what you're doing.
Looking at kind of the ecosystem here, why do you think we've been so successful? Like, when we, you know, first started working with a lot of tech companies, it was a lot of SaaS, a lot of software groups.
Yeah.
recently it's almost like a 50-50 split coming out of the incubators. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we've had success on the hardware side in the Waterloo region?
I think it changes. Like, I've watched over the past almost 5 years now, companies change, and there used to be a lot of SaaS. Then there was a point with a lot of hardware. Then there's a lot of med tech, and it like ebbs and flows. There's a lot of resources, regardless of which facet you are in or which category you're in. There's a lot of resources, and that helps. So there are successful SaaS companies around. There are successful hardware companies around and successful med tech companies around. And so that helps because it shows you it can be done. And there are people that you can talk to that have done it before you. On the hardware side, so we do all the the assembly, at least, in-house. And a lot of the manufacturing is done within about an hour of our facility. That's something that surprises people, but we have good manufacturers in Southern Ontario.
Absolutely.
So like wood, metal, plastic, those are all local parts for us that we use to make a made in Canada product. So I think that's pretty exciting. And that's an advantage we have in the region, is we still have people that know how to manufacture.
Absolutely. And that's what was our bread and butter for years.
Exactly.
Right? Before the tech.
Yeah.
Tech belt.
The tannery, like the tannery building.
Tannery, there you go.
Is in,
yeah.
It was a tannery.
So that's a 340,000 square foot, you know, now I call it the heartbeat of the region, right?
Exactly.
The tech ecosystem.
Yeah. And all rooted in manufacturing.
Yeah. And it's an incredible one. Like, it's world renowned, right?
Yeah.
You know, we get people from Communitech going into other tech hubs to try and replicate what we've created here, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We've made a lot of progress.
So never came across your mind to bring it back to Montreal. You were kind of focused here with the co-founder after UW and after some, you know, Velocity.
Yeah.
You saw it growing here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, really, like you said, Communitech, they go and they try to teach other people how to set up. I wouldn't even say incubator programs. I would say regions, like the Waterloo region.
Right.
Because that's what they've been instrumental in doing, is helping the programs like Launchpad and Velocity and even the Accelerator Center, like helping all of these programs come together. And so that's what's really unique here, that we didn't even consider looking elsewhere, because we were happy and there's great talent. And that's been another piece that's been helpful for us. We've been able to hire the people that we need to continue to grow the company.
So talk about talent pool.
Yeah.
Here in Waterloo region. I mean, you've got to hire, you know, almost a full scale within your company.
Yeah.
You know, how are you doing that with culture? Like, what are you first looking at? Is it kind of, do they fit the culture? Do they have the expertise? Kind of go over kind of your hiring process.
So we believe in a bit of the mentality of like hire on personality, fire on skill. You have to have enough skill to get in the door for an interview. But we're a startup, so you need to be adaptable and you need to have the right kind of personality to handle what we're going through right now. And not just a very narrow view of like, this is my role and this is all I'm going to do. It's all I can do. You need to be versatile. So we look for versatility in people. Like you said, we hire a ton of people, across different facets. And so you need slightly different skills depending on the role that you're hiring for, that's for sure. But I think the talent piece here is kind of two sides. So we've managed to find talent that is good to bring on full time and that can do anything from assembly through to, we've got a firmware developer and or a firmware engineer, and he has a master's in machine learning, right? Like, so we have a wide range of people and we managed to find them all. But the other piece that's really cool is you have a lot of talent that's been there before and they're acting as mentors and advisors. Some free, most paid, and that's okay because they're worth paying for. Like, they have helped us avoid so many mistakes,
right?
And go faster. And I think that's one of the big things, that like having a talent on your team is great. But every person on our team, we still want them to keep learning, and there are people here that they can keep learning from, so that every day we get better.
And what's your count at now, employee wise?
We're about 13 at the moment.
And how do you see that growing? So it's 2, 3, 5 years.
Yeah, it'll continue to grow. We had grown and then we went back down to just what we need to operate and get through these units. Like, our problem today is keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all like a lot of our effort is just purely going to manufacturing right now. And then as we get back into product development phase, we'll be able to bring more people on to support that. But today it's just like, we have hundreds of orders that we're still working to fill, as fast as we can.
And getting back to company culture, do you guys do town halls? Do you guys do anything special as a group that,
we do grocials.
Grocials?
Grocials.
What does that mean?
Grobo Social. I mean, every once in a while we'll do some events together. We do right now, like Thirsty Thursday as well, where we'll just have a drink, and not everybody drinks here. So we do drinks sometimes, we do snacks sometimes. They're not always alcoholic. Like it's, we do kind of a mix. The whole idea is every Thursday afternoon, we take a little bit of time, 20 minutes, half an hour to hang out together.
Brilliant.
Because the rest of the week, honestly, people are heads down working. Like everybody is pushing hard because we're in it together. We're at such a critical point, both in terms of our company and our industry. And we just need to keep powering through it.
Yeah. I mean, we walked through here and everybody was heads down. You know, it's nice to have people with goals aligned with yourself.
Yeah.
So focusing on you, the entrepreneur and one of the co-founders, the CEO, describe your leadership ability and qualities.
So my style, well, first of all, I'm young. And we don't just hire young people here. So there's a lot of people that are older than me. Most of our team is older than me. So
yeah, great diversity as we walk through.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the advantages is I recognize that and that I don't know everything and that I want to keep learning. Right. So everybody on the team brings a lot of experience from elsewhere. So the way that I like to lead is kind of learning as much as I can from them. And we cherish the feedback. Like if somebody calls us out on something or complains about something, we make sure that we cherish that and tell everybody else, be like, hey, thank you to this person for calling us out on this, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but really there's a few team members even that know that they can say anything to us. And so any other team members that are more afraid, it's like, okay, if you want to be anonymous, just go talk to one of these few people. They'll tell us. They will never reveal your name. They've offered to be that as well. And so the nice thing is we get a lot of good, honest feedback from the team. We try things a lot. I like to move quickly. And they don't always work. So like even our weekly meetings, I've changed it twice over the past 3 weeks. But we had been doing the same thing for a long time. That was pretty good.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, well, let's try one thing. And then if that doesn't work, let's try another thing. And if that doesn't work, we can always go back. But can we do it better? So we like to just try different ways to improve and get feedback. And anytime people ask questions, we work to address that as well.
What is that, your ringtone? So as you do team meetings, which is great, and you do town halls, which is even better. But having that transparency and that openness within the organization, even with 16 people, is incredible, right? You waking up every day, what makes you most excited about coming to work?
It all depends on the day. So my overall excitement, like I'm very excited about the technology that we're building. I'm very excited about the people that I get to work with every day. I think that's one of the coolest things because we do learn every single day. I never know what the day is actually going to have in store. But it really depends on the day, and it can be kind of big picture stuff. And sometimes it's the little things. Like we had one customer that just ordered their third unit from us. And I think that's so cool because they had their first unit and they just were testing it out. And then they bought their second one about a month and a half later. And then they bought their third one. And you're just like, okay, it's working. So that customer had me excited yesterday. And today, another customer emailed in. Actually, no, today there's two things that excite me. Amazon, we've received a number of Amazon orders today.
Beautiful.
Which, yeah, it's like, okay, we're finally moving up. They use search algorithms like Google. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to see that we're moving up on Amazon, which is exciting. And the other thing is a customer just replying and saying, hey, your customer service is awesome. You guys rock. Thank you. And so it's like those little things right now are very exciting for us.
Those little things add up. Right.
They do.
Which is brilliant. And, seeing yourself on the Chive must have been really cool.
Chive was sweet.
Yeah.
After being on that app for years, that was really
as
cool.
As with every other college student is on that app probably. So having see your product come across it.
And, yeah.
Them reaching out to you to kind of tell the story. I think it's awesome.
It was so cool. It was so cool.
Any other big awards to touch on?
We won the Growbox of the Year last year. And voting's open
2017.
And then voting's open right now for 2018. I think it closed in 2 days or so. So hopefully, within the next month, we'll know if we've won that again, which would be pretty cool to have that 2 years running. So, That's one of the kind of the biggest ones that we've received lately that we're really proud of.
Are you a podcast guy, book guy? What do you do in your spare time?
Podcasts. Fresh podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And audiobooks now too, actually.
Audiobooks. Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite one off the top of your head?
Planet Money. I'm really into Planet Money right now. They have The Indicator as well, which is a shorter one. So those are both like economics, slow burn, political one. That's really good. And then on the book side, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. That is, I don't know if anybody's mentioned that book to you before.
No, we haven't heard that one.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It's all about the challenges of being an entrepreneur. They talk about like mass firings. They talk about trying to go public when you have no money. They talk about like all these experiences that most entrepreneurs don't talk about, right? Everybody wants you to think that it was easy and we just ended up here. And this entire book is about all the shit that you have to go through. And it's really cool to hear it. And then the lessons you learn and how to give different people promotions and why do you get different people promotions. And yeah, I learned something every time I listened to it. So
great.
Any mentors you have?
Again, tons. Yeah. And it depends entirely on what we're doing. So through Communitech, we have a huge number of mentors through the Rev program. Through Velocity, we still have some mentors that would be there. In Toronto, we have some mentors and some of our investors that we would still work with as well. So it really depends. I think the common theme that we've seen, a lot of the mentors came from BlackBerry, and that's been huge for us.
Absolutely. Like,
if you're going to talk about sales channels, managing partners, distribution, software development, like there was somebody at BlackBerry that did all of those, and they're giving back now. And that has been really helpful for us.
And they rode the ride, right? They've seen the ups, the downs, the obstacles.
HR mentors, right? You want to talk about hiring and firing and how to do that well. They've been through it and they know it, and they can help all of the companies or as many companies in the region as possible so that we can do it better.
I love it. So in town, favorite spot to get a pint?
Oh man, I'd have to stop working to do that.
That's a great answer. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Beautiful.
Beer town's always good.
Beer town? Not bad. Restaurant. Do you have a favorite restaurant in town? That little hidden gem?
Red House.
Yeah?
Yeah. Red House is always delicious.
Is that one of your favorites?
Red House is good.
Chef Dan is he's awesome.
Yeah.
Really good food.
One of the best curries in town.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. No, that's incredible. I mean, you're a young CEO. Yep. So let's take a look. Normally ask, like, what would you ask your 20-year-old self?
Yep.
But what would you ask somebody, I would say, going to university right now? Would it be just simple open mind? Or like, what would you do differently when you were coming to UW? If anything. I mean, you got a pretty good...
I don't know if I would do tons differently, to be honest with you. Happy that I went to UW. That really worked out well. I went for the engineering program in the co-op and then discovered the whole region of Waterloo and for the business sense. I would say try things. Like, that's what I did. I worked in different provinces, different sized companies, different jobs for my first three co-ops, and then dove right into the company. And I think that's one of the biggest points is I hear so many people talk about wanting to be an entrepreneur and, oh, I don't have a great idea yet, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. Like, Grobo is not my first idea. I have done smaller companies before this, and like Grobo is the one that stuck, but I didn't just suddenly have this idea that took off. Like, I started a soap making business that went horribly, but I sold the business.
Right. It's a positive to it, right?
Like, we sold soap once to one customer in Calgary that found us online that we didn't know. So we sold to all of our family and friends, of course, but there was only one customer ever that we didn't know. And then we managed to sell the business.
That's impressive.
And like, yeah, it was great, right? I learned what not to do, a lot of what not to do.
Right. And you can take those lessons and apply them, right?
Exactly. Like, I didn't know what our competitive advantage was, which made it very hard for me to figure out how to market and sell this soap. It's like, oh, it's a different scent. That doesn't work, right? So then you learn the importance of a competitive advantage. You learn the importance of the partner that you pick as well, for example. So there's like so much that happens that you can learn, and you have to just try it.
Yeah. I mean, we're incredibly excited for you and the company. We thank you for sitting down with us today. Dean and I are excited to see the growth, and, you know, obviously with what's happening in Canada, I think you kind of hit the ground running, which is amazing. And I think you got some runway on some of the competition.
Yeah.
So here's to 2018 being the Grow Box of the Year.
Awesome.
Cross our fingers. We'll knock on some wood for that one.
Yeah, I'm in for that. I
love
so
it.
Much,
thanks
guys.
For being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Startups to Scaleups podcast with CBRE's Office Corridor Group. If you know of an incredible founder or tech influencer that should be showcased on our podcast, you can reach us on Instagram at Office Corridor Group or email todd.cooney@cbre.com. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe for more episodes and leave a review.